Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Take a Man Podcast. He's Logan Paulson. I'm Devin Day sitting in for Craig Hoffman this week. Logan, I watched the Hall of Fame game a little bit, and I say a little bit because I didn't really care about the offense and the defense. I wanted to see this new kickoff rule. You and I haven't spoken since this became a thing in the NFL. Your boy's big time in on this new kickoff rule. Yeah, I saw it once in the XFL, and I was like, hold on a second. They might have done something. After watching in the Hall of Fame game, I'm even more pumped. And I think if you are a smart coach, you can really make a difference in whether you're a 7-win team or potentially 8-9, 10-win team with just a couple of plays. Your first thoughts of seeing it in action. It's different at the NFL, right? Like, all love to the XFL and the UFL. It's different when you have players doing it. What did you see in the Hall of Fame game from it?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that I've seen in practice with the Commanders and in the Hall of Fame game is how hard those frontline blocks are. You know, it used to be because you had more time, you could get really far back there, set up, and those blocks are hard anyway. But now they feel like they're even harder because those guys, the coverage team, closes the different distance so quickly. And the relationship between the return team, that front line kind of in that setup zone, and the returner is so far that the coverage team really can go both ways. And you talked about how in the XFL it felt different. You don't have the athletes that they do in the NFL. Even these guys who are kind of, you know, third string, fourth string guys, like, they're just different. They're cut different. And so I just was like, this is going to be really hard. And you need to be really creative to kind of maximize that group up front, because again, that's the hardest part. And again, it's the violence, the aggression that you get from it. But that's the thing. I was like, man, this, in the XFL, it was almost like one for one. It was almost easy for them to get those blocks in the front. And then now it's like, oh my gosh, like, that's something that they're going to have to really troubleshoot and figure out the best way to get that done. Because if you can find an advantage there, which I do think there are advantages to be had, you could really maximize that group.
So the first takeaway that I came away with after watching in the Hall of Fame game, a lot of the things that you just mentioned, but because of a lot of those things that you just mentioned, if you're on the return unit, you have to limit the amount, I think, of defensive backs because they're just not natural blockers in the way that you're going to need in this kind of setup. So, I mean, honestly, if I was a special teams coach and this was 2012, I would put you out there because I think you'd be really good in a position to where you're athletic, you can move, but you're not afraid to put a hat on a hat and really seal something off. You know, one of the things that I think is going to be so interesting, if you can come up with designs to just create a sliver of space for a guy, there really isn't a lot of second line defense. So, like, once you break through that initial line, effectively it's going to be you versus the kicker. And one of the things that I was kind of fooling around with as I was, you know, driving to and from stations and coming into this podcast, you're going to need tight ends. You're going to need, I don't know if fullbacks really exist in the NFL, but a stockier running back, some wide receivers. But am I crazy for thinking if you have a really athletic tackle or guard, it might be beneficial to put them on there if they can quickly get to a hat, create an edge there, and maybe take on two guys at a time there? Am I crazy for thinking an offensive lineman can make it work?
Yeah, so I think I think initially I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. Like, if someone floated that to me and I was like, oh, that'd be interesting, let's check it out. Right now, watching it, especially watching it in practice, it's just too fast. I don't know if the offensive lineman can run and get set before that, you know, before your Jeremy Reeves is right on your toes, like ripping across your face. I agree with you. You want that body type in there, but I think a lot of teams are going to have a hard time finding the speed to kind of get back there to that setup zone as quickly as you can before that coverage team is on you. Like, again, like, that was the thing that stuck out to me. Because, like, oh, you could do something creative like that, like have a big post guy work maybe kind of a wall kind of setup, like a down block kind of like on power, have a kick out, attack that crease. But the problem is the movement of the big guy, and B, the ball placement of the kicker. That's something else that has been really interesting to watch in terms of how they practice it with the Commanders. Because, like, you can set that up. Like, I can put my big guys on the right side, and we can set that return up. We can get the double teams all worked out there, and then the kick-out guys. But if they kick that ball left, there is no feasible way I can get back to the right. There's no feasible way I can get to the return. So I think that's the thing that keeps popping out to me, is there are a lot of issues. And you almost need to be able to call the return so that it can go both ways. So if I'm doing, like, let's say power right or whatever, where I'm getting a double team and kick out, I need to be able to say, hey, check, check, ball's left on the return, and get the same thing set up kind of on the fly. But again, the speed of it, because, like, again, everyone's like, oh, the XFL made this so dynamic. For whatever reason, like, the XFL, when they did it, it was a straight wall across. Guys would just run into each other. And now it's like, it's like a porous sieve. And I'm sure better teams will be better at it than others. But I think that's something where it's like, wow, the coverage guys are so much better here. It's going to be really hard, I think, to kind of come up with creative stuff, because you got to maximize that frontline group. So I was thinking, like, the best way, in my opinion, is to employ some type of, like, rugby type setup with the returners. You know what I mean? Get two guys who can handle the ball really well. Kind of, I think Kansas City was on the right track there with the guy they brought in from the Sevens Rugby League, where it's like you can attack a perimeter both sides. He catches the ball, you attack the perimeter both sides, you kind of loop the other returner around, and then we get a 2-on-1 on the coverage player, and I can pitch or I can dive. And I think, like, that's a kind of an easy way to kind of get some of that trickeration going. But again, like, when I watch the returns in practice, or when I watch the returns in the Hall of Fame game, like, that's great, but I have to block everybody else. And there's just so much bleeding from that internal return that it makes it really hard to make that happen.
I think the speed that you mentioned, you know, when this initially passed, a lot of people were like, think of the reverses you could do and all this stuff. The reverses are not going to work.
No way.
Not a chance. Like, unless you have, like, Noah Lyles reversing to Usain Bolt, you're in trouble. There's just, the guys are going to get there too fast. You're really going to have to rely on these bigger dudes, the tight ends and the bigger running backs, just making sure that they can kind of attack somebody quick.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is, like, when, again, in the XFL, like, you'd see these crazy reverses and they developed really nice. But I was like, I don't know how you do that now. Like, and I guess it's just the team speed of it. And again, like, the problem you're going to run into is, like, you could set those O linemen up, or they'll set those big tight ends up in the front line there, if the ball's kicked right behind them, because then guys have to run right into them, you know. But if the ball's kicked away, all those guys, they're not fast enough to run and cut them off. And they're going to run and make the tackle on the football. So it does present a lot of – seeing it live, executed live, it does present a lot of really interesting problems. And I think some type of misdirection can be accomplished. It's just, you really got to think about the best way to maximize it. Not because you can't do it or because it's too fast. It's because the ball placement makes it almost impossible. So, like, for example, if I kick the ball back, right, to the return right – or, yeah, to the return left, excuse me – and my returner catches it. If I want to do any kind of misdirection, my off returner has to run all of that distance to potentially fake the handoff. It's just, there's too much space and too much time now for that stuff in the back. And now, if you could consistently get that ball right in the middle, then we can do some stuff, right? Because we have a consistent set point. We can move guys around to accommodate that. But the other thing that I think is interesting is there's no surprise onside kicks anymore, which again could be beneficial in terms of moving some of those backs, those up backs. Like, maybe you move them to the middle, maybe you move them out, maybe you kind of stack them in a different way, because you don't have to defend the field in the same way. So those are all things, again, I can't wait to see how this is innovated over the next 17 weeks, because, like, there are some smart dudes in the NFL. There's some really innovative guys. There is something here. It's just, right now, I haven't thought of it, but again, that's probably why I'm not coaching the NFL.
I'm excited about it. Logan, this is always fun, my friend. And the next time we do this, we're talking joint practices, and then we're really ironing in, or zoning in, I should say, on this preseason matchup with the Jets and seeing Jane Daniels play for the first time. Always fun, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Denton. Good talking to you, and looking forward to the next podcast.
He's Logan Paulson. I'm Denton Day. We'll see you later this week, getting ready for Commanders-Jets this weekend. Nerds!
Chris.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.